It truly is a beautiful song. Thou did wear a thorn crown for me, and thou did give your life for me. It really is what the Lord has done. This morning as we gather here on the Lord's Day, we thank Him and we worship Him. This morning, I'm not going to talk about something too heavy duty, okay? I'm talking about, I'll be sharing with you a character in the Bible, and let's see if we can learn something from this character. I believe I talked about him before, Moses. It's a character that most of us are very familiar with. And I'm sure we can, every time when we study the story of Moses, there's something there that we can all learn. There's never an end to our learning, okay? Let's read from the book of Acts chapter 7. This is how Stephen introduced the story of Moses to us. Chapter 7 of the book of Acts. It's quite a long passage. Can I ask David Lee? Can you read it for us aloud, please? Read from 17 to 36. It's quite a long passage. Thanks.
As the time drew near for God to fulfill His promise to Abraham, the number of our people in Egypt greatly increased. Then another king, who knew nothing about Joseph, became ruler of Egypt. He dealt treacherously with our people and oppressed our forefathers by forcing them to throw out their newborn babies so that they would die. At that time, Moses was born, and he was no ordinary child. For 3 months he was cared for in his father's house. When he was placed outside, Pharaoh's daughter took him and brought him up as her own son. Moses was educated in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was powerful in speech and action. When Moses was 40 years old, he decided to visit his fellow Israelites. He saw one of them being mistreated by an Egyptian, so he went to his defense and avenged him by killing the Egyptian. Moses thought that his own people realized that God was using him to rescue them, but they did not. The next day, Moses came upon two Israelites who were fighting. He tried to reconcile them by saying, "Men, you are brothers. Why do you want to hurt each other?" But the man who was mistreating the other pushed Moses aside and said, "Who made you ruler and judge over us? Do you want to kill me as you killed the Egyptian yesterday?" When Moses heard this, he fled to Midian, where he settled as a foreigner and had two sons. After 40 years had passed, an angel appeared to Moses in the flames of a burning bush in the desert near Mount Sinai. When he saw this, he was amazed at the sight. As he went over to look more closely, he heard the Lord's voice. "I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Moses trembled with fear and did not dare to look. Then the Lord said to him, "Take off your sandals. The place where you are standing is holy ground. I have indeed seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their groaning and have come down to set them free. Now come, I will send you back to Egypt." This is the same Moses whom they had rejected with the words, "Who made you ruler and judge?" He was sent to be their ruler and deliverer by God Himself, through the angel who appeared to him in the bush. He led them out of Egypt and did wonders and miraculous signs in Egypt, at the Red Sea, and for 40 years in the desert.
Thank you very much, David. This kind of summarizes the story of Moses for us. Moses, even at his birth, is quite an amazing event. You know, he was born at a time when there was a decree from the Pharaoh that says, you know, all the baby boys of the Israelites should die. Okay, so he told the midwives who deliver babies and tell them, "Look, if you go to a Hebrew family, okay, to deliver a baby, if you see that the baby is a boy, kill the boy right away." That was the decree given by Pharaoh. So that was the time when Moses was born. So you can imagine when Moses was born, he was born without a future. When he was born, he's designated to be killed right away. So you can see that even from his birth, it's special. That God protected him. God saved him from the hands of Pharaoh. So you can see that even from here, we know that there is something different in Moses' life. So here in this passage, we were told three times about 40 years, 40 years, and 40 years. In verse 23, when he was 40 years old, okay, he did something. And then in verse 30, it said, and when 40 years have passed, okay, after the first 40 years, something also happened. And then at the end, in verse 36, he led the Israelites in the wilderness for 40 years. So the life of Moses can be divided into 40 years, 40 years, and another 40 years. That's what we were told here. In the first 40 years, the life of Moses was quite amazing. Quite amazing. The Bible used one word to describe his first 40 years. In verse 32, in my version it says, and Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in words and deeds. So you can see this is a summary of the first 40 years of the life of Moses. When he was born, we learn that his parents kept him for 3 months. When he was 3 months old, his parents knew that they cannot hide him anymore. People will find out. Okay. So instead of killing Moses, his mother put him in a basket, and put this basket, of course they make it to be waterproof, and then put him in the basket and put him on the side of the river. Okay. On the riverside. So it so happened the daughter of Pharaoh came out and saw Moses. And somehow God touched the heart of the Pharaoh's daughter. Instead of throwing the baby into the river and kill the baby, the princess was kind enough to allow Moses to live. So Moses' sister was watching what's happening, right? So she immediately came out to suggest to Pharaoh's daughter, can I find someone in the Hebrew to nurse the baby for you? And the daughter of Pharaoh said, yes, go ahead. And I will even pay her to do it. So, of course, being the sister of Moses, she knew what was behind the story, right? So she immediately got her mother to come out to take over Moses. So that's how Moses was preserved. Instead of being killed as a baby, he was preserved by God. You can see that this is really no coincidence. It's not coincidence. It's all in the hands of the Lord. And Moses was kept. When he grew up, of course, because of this relationship between him and the daughter of Pharaoh, and the historian told us that the Pharaoh has no son. And he has this daughter. And for whatever reason, this daughter also has no children. So you can imagine how important Moses is to the royal family. And, you know, under this circumstance, he would be a very important person in the royal family. Because the daughter of Pharaoh, using today's terminology, she adopted this baby to be her child, right? So after he was nursed by his mother, then he moved into the palace naturally, right? And the Bible tells us that he was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. And he was mighty in words and deeds. Of course, he's a very, very smart person. He was brought up in the palace, so obviously he got all the education that the royal family can give him. So at the time, no one was more learned than Moses. And in addition to that, according to what our historian told us, that Moses was not only just being very learned, he was very smart and wise, he was also a very brave man, and he was a brave warrior. He led the Egyptian soldiers into battles, and he won a lot of important battles for the Egyptians. So in that sense, he was a very powerful person in the palace. So in other words, this background, you can imagine the future for Moses was very bright. As a matter of fact, there's no limit to whatever he wanted to do. He would, you know, after Pharaoh passed away, historians tell us that, you know, it's very likely that Moses will inherit the throne. Of course, history did not unfold in such a manner, okay? And we will go over that later. Historians, however, they told us that, you know, very likely Moses would inherit the throne of Egypt. So he was in such a circumstance. It's a circumstance that a lot of people will be very envy about. A lot of people will try very hard to get it. But Moses was put in such a circumstance. So you can imagine what's going through his heart, you know. You know, I have such a bright future in front of me. You know, I have all the power that I need. And you know that Egypt at that time was the most powerful nation in the world. You using today's terminology, it would be like U.S., you know, so powerful in the world. No one dared to challenge them, right? So it was in that circumstances, Moses spent his first 40 years. You know, not only Moses was a very brave young person, not only Moses was a very smart and learned person, according to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, we were also told that Moses was a very spiritual person as well. The Bible tells us that, you know, in his heart, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. That's in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24 to 27. He refused to be called the son of the daughter of Pharaoh. You know, is he crazy to give up all this privilege, give up all this power, refuse to be called the son of the daughter of Pharaoh? Can you imagine how many people wanted to be the son of the daughter of Pharaoh? And yet here you see Moses in his heart. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And the Bible continued to say, choosing to suffer with the people of God rather than to enjoy the passing pleasure of sin. That's what it says in the book of Hebrews. So in other words, this young man, he was not corrupted by power. He was not corrupted by wealth. He chose to suffer with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasure of sin. So you can see that this young man here was very spiritual as well. And in addition to that, the Bible also says, one, you know, if you read all this description, you really admire him. The Bible said, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasure of Egypt. In other words, he rather suffered the suffering of Christ and regarded that as greater riches than the treasure of Egypt. Can you imagine what he meant by the treasure of Egypt? Egypt at the time was the most powerful, the most wealthy nation in the world. And yet, the Bible tells us that in the heart of Moses, he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasure of Egypt. This description we all admire because we know that Moses was a very, very different young man. Not only was he well educated in Egypt, not only was he the most powerful and most courageous person in Egypt, and he was also a very spiritual person. Now, if you can find such a person, naturally you want him to be your leader, right? You want him to be a leader. And, you know, why would you want to waste such talent? You know, if in the church we find talents like this, if you find someone who is very smart, very well educated, and very clever, and very spiritual, and love the Lord very much as well, you want him to be the leader of the church, right? But the amazing thing is, when we read the story of Moses, you know what God did to him? Instead of using him to deliver the Egyptians at age 40, God put him in the wilderness to be a shepherd. God made him a shepherd in the wilderness at the climax of his life. You would think, what a waste, eh? What a waste. He could have done so much for the Lord. Why would the Lord put him in the wilderness? Why would the Lord make him a shepherd? You know what a shepherd do? They just look after the sheep, right? Every day they take the sheep out and take them to the pasture, and then in the evening they take them back into the fold, and that's all they do. That's all they do. Especially in the wilderness, what else can you do? In the wilderness, there are hardly any people. I had this opportunity to visit the Sinai Peninsula a few years ago, and I can see that there's actually nothing there. It's just desert. And hardly can you even find any plants, pretty trees there. There's nothing. There were a few motels at the foot of Mount Sinai. That's about it. And there's a freeway pass along, and you can drive for hours with nothing. If you run out of gas, you'll be in big, big trouble. There's no gas station. So that's the wilderness of the Sinai Peninsula. And that's where God put Moses as a shepherd for 40 years. Brother and sister, let's think about this. What's going on, you know? Such a bright young man who loved the Lord so much, who, you know, has so much, you know, has so much, you know, in his future, yet the Lord stopped him and put him in the wilderness for 40 years. You know, in the eyes of man, what a waste. Right? What a waste. You ask this question, what went wrong? What was the problem? What went wrong? That's something that we would like to think about. What went wrong? Okay. Let's read a particular verse and see if we can find out what went wrong. So at age 40, at the climax of his life, he thought that he can do something mighty for the Lord. He thought that he can do something very important and very useful to his countrymen. In verse 25, it says, "For he supposed that his brethren would have understood that God would deliver them by his hand, but they did not understand." What happened was, at age 40, let's go back to verse 23, "But when he was 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel." So he developed this desire in his heart. He wanted to see his brethren, the fellow Israelites. So he wanted to help them. So he came out, he saw on that day, he saw an Egyptian bullying an Israelite. So he immediately went up to challenge this Egyptian. And also he killed this Egyptian, because this Egyptian was bullying the Israelite. So he killed the Egyptian, buried him in the sand. That's what he did that day. Okay. So when he went home, he probably feel very, very good. He said, "Well, I did something good today. I did something good for my countrymen. So they will surely know that I am their savior. I will deliver them out of their misery." So he must have felt very good inside. So the next day he went out again. He wanted to do something similar. However, this time he saw two Israelites, two Hebrew person, one bullying the other. So immediately from his righteous heart, he challenged the person that was bullying his own brother. Okay, so he said, "Look, you guys are brethren, you guys are Israelites, and you guys already suffer so much in the hands of the Egyptians. Why do you still bully one another?" So the person that was in the wrong turned around and challenged Moses. He challenged Moses, "Who made you a ruler and a judge over us? Do you want to kill me as you did to the Egyptian yesterday?" So this Israelite, this Hebrew man, challenged Moses and asked him, "Who made you the ruler and judge over us? Are you going to murder or kill me just like you killed the Egyptian yesterday?" Moses was afraid, because what he did yesterday was not right. What he did was wrong. He could not kill an Egyptian. If he killed an Egyptian, he became a murderer and he will be killed. So that was why after he killed the Egyptian, he immediately buried the Egyptian in the sand. He thought no one noticed it. He thought no one would tell on him. Unfortunately, the next day he found out that people knew about what happened the day before. So he was afraid. The Bible said when Pharaoh heard about this, he was angry and he wanted to kill Moses. Because of what Moses did was wrong. And Egypt, for any Hebrew person killing an Egyptian, he should die. Moses made such a grave error in killing an Egyptian. So he was afraid. The Bible said he was afraid. And he left and he fled to the wilderness. And that's how he was severed from Egypt. He went into the wilderness and to flee away from Pharaoh. And there he was. He can do nothing. Because what can you do in the wilderness? There's nothing to do, right? So he ran into the daughters of this priest of Midian. And he married one of the daughter. And he started a family there. Has two children. And he probably considered that, look, this is my life. I will spend the rest of my life as a faithful husband and a faithful father, tending the sheep, and that's the end of my life. That's how I will spend the rest of my life. He probably considered that all that I've learned in Egypt, all the powerful and courageous deeds that I did in Egypt is now history. It's gone. It's gone. I'll probably spend the rest of my life in the wilderness just looking after the sheep, and that's it. You know, brothers and sisters, let's ask ourselves a question. Such a brave and spiritual young man, how did he got into so much trouble that he thought that he will spend the rest of his life just in the wilderness as a shepherd? What went wrong? What went wrong? Okay. Well, from the verse that we have read just now, verse 25, for he supposed that his brethren would have understood that God would deliver them by his hand. At least two errors that he made, we were told in this verse. At least two errors. Number one, he thought that God would deliver them by his hand. When did God tell him that God would use him to deliver the Israelites? If you read the passage from verse 17 to verse 25, God never told him that God will use him. God never told him that. Never did God tell him that God was going to use him. He assumed that God is going to use him. He assumed that I'm so well educated, God will use me. He assumed that I'm so powerful in the world. If God doesn't use me, who would God use? So he assumed that God would use him. And he thought, I'm so spiritual. Certainly God would use me. He assumed God would use him. This is a very presumptuous person. He assumed that God would use him. That is the biggest mistake in his life. Brother and sister, we also make the same mistake in our life quite often. We thought that, look, I'm so smart. And I love the Lord so much. If God doesn't use me, who would God use? And we made the same assumption that God will use me for sure. And that's the biggest mistake. Presumptuous. And not only that he assumed that God would use him, he also assumed that the people will realize that God would use him. For he supposed that his brethren would have understood. So he thought that people would accept him as a leader. People would accept him as a servant of the Lord. What's that? That's pride. That's pride. Yes, God was very, very gracious to him. And his life was protected even when he was a baby. And God put him in a position that everybody will envy. God put him in the palace. He learned all the education that's available in Egypt. He was so courageous, he won so many battles for Egypt. God was very gracious to him. But he took it for granted that God would use me. And the people around me would accept that I will be God's servant and I will be their leader. Brother and sister, that's presumptuous and that's pride. Even though his motive was good, he was trying to help the Israelites. He wanted to be used by the Lord. But obviously, God cannot use such a person. That's why God put him in the wilderness. Our God is kind of a humorous God. For 40 years, Moses has learned all the education in Egypt and became a very powerful person. And God used another 40 years to undo all this. When God appeared to him in the wilderness, when God said, there was something also kind of interesting. God said in verse 34, "I have certainly seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their groaning and have come down to deliver them." Did God just wake up now? The Israelites were already suffering for so long. When Moses was 40 years old, God already knew that God already knew the oppression of my people who are in Egypt. God has already heard the groaning of his people. But God waited for another 40 years before doing his mighty work. Is it God's fault? Or is it God trying to prepare Moses for this mighty work? Sometimes our thinking is very different than God's thinking. When we read to this verse, we'll probably say to God, "Look, you have heard about this long ago. You could have used Moses 40 years ago. And then the Israelites will suffer for 40 years less. Why do you wait for another 40 years? You know, there are so many things that we do not understand, especially the timing of God's work. It's hard, you know, for us to understand God's timing. But it's really obvious in this story that timing, it's very important to realize that God will delay his work. God will rather delay his work instead of doing a hasty work. God rather to have a vessel that is well prepared than speed up his work just for the sake of speeding up the work. The whole story is about Moses. The whole story is about making Moses into a person usable in the hands of the Lord. At age 40, Moses was not usable in the hands of the Lord. So God rather wait than hastily do his work. Now, God is a very patient God. He's very patient with us. If we are not ready, God will wait until we are ready, until Moses is ready. So let us learn the lesson from the life of Moses. You know, we are all very important vessels in God's hand. God will rather wait for us to mature and to be useful in his hand rather than hastily do his work. God will never do that. God will never hastily do his work. God has his time. And God values you and me more important than the work itself. So often we look at things, you know, we want result, we want work, we want result. But God looks at us more important than the work. God loves every one of us. So God rather wait until we are ready. How do you know that Moses was ready? How do you know that Moses was ready? Oh, Sorry, I missed one point. That's also very important. We know that Moses assumed that God would use him. Moses assumed that the people will accept him. Moses also assumed one other thing, that he can do anything in the name of God, including murdering. He thought he was justified to murder. Do you see that? He thought he was justified to murder. How wrong is that? Can you imagine God used Moses in this at this time? Someone who agreed that doing wrong in the name of God is right. How can God use a person like that? If this is the Moses who led the Israelite into the wilderness, and if anyone dared to challenge him, what would he do? He would do something similar. In the name of God. Do you think it's our problem as well? We may not murder, but quite often, in our mind, we have the same problem. We make the same error. Very simply put, okay? Copy something that has copyrights and use it in the church? Very simple. Have you copied something that has copyright and use it in the church? Oh, I'm using it in the church. No, it's no big deal. I'm serving God. What's the problem with copyright? Have we ever thought of that? Have we ever copied songs and that has copyright and use it in church meetings? Some people think this is small things. Come on, how can they compare with what Moses did? A wrong is a wrong, brother and sister. Sometimes you justify it by saying, "Oh, I'm serving the Lord. I can do something wrong, but if I'm doing something wrong to serve the Lord, the wrong is not wrong." We have some similar thinking in our mind. On Friday night, brother shared one incident. I kind of very touched. He said, lately in Vancouver, we have this boiled water warning, right? Everybody has to go buy bottled water. So he said, our company has a lot of bottled water that we order from the supplier. I can borrow some, and as soon as I can find some in the store, I can return it to the office. I can take the water from the office and take them home, and I will return them eventually when I can find them in the store. And our brother said, as soon as this thought comes through my mind, I rejected it. I think it's wrong. So he didn't do it. I was really touched. With his position in the office, he could easily just take a few bottles home. He's not stealing. He said he was going to return them. Borrow, right? What's wrong with that? He said, no. According to my conscience, I think it's still wrong. So he didn't do it. I was really touched. Small matter like this. How often are we conscious about this kind of things, We think they are small things. We think they don't matter. But if we think that small things do not matter, then why does it matter that Moses killed the Egyptian who was clearly in the wrong? He was bullying another person, right? So he could easily justify it. But that's not what God wants. You cannot turn two wrongs into a right. So, brother and sister, that's something that he did wrong as well. So, how do we know that he learned his lesson after 40 years in the wilderness as a shepherd? The Bible tells us that at the end of the 40 years, God appeared to Moses in a fire, in a flame of fire appeared on a bush. But the amazing thing is, the bush was not consumed by the fire. It was not burned to ash. That was amazing. Fire in the bush was no, it's not unusual. But the bush not consumed by the fire. That is unusual. So as Moses saw this, he wanted to get closer to see what's going on, and a voice came out, right? A voice said to him, I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And then the Lord said to him again, he said, take your sandals off your feet, for the place that you are standing is holy ground. And then God sent him back to Egypt, right? So let's see what the significance of this sin, okay, this appearing. What is God trying to tell him through this particular incident? At least we can see a couple of things. Number one, God is telling Moses, look, 40 years ago, you thought that you were very important. 40 years ago, you thought that you are well-educated, you are very brave, you are ready for God's work. And I want to tell you, you are just a bush, a thorn bush. You are just as useless as a thorn bush. However, even though you are just a thorn bush, I can use you. Just like the thorn bush not being consumed by fire. Moses realized that, look, I am just a thorn bush. I am just as useless as that. And God said, I am the God of Abraham, I am the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. In other words, at this time, even though Moses has already considered that, I'm going to waste my life here, that's the end of my life. But God said, no, I remember my covenant with your father, for forefathers. I remember my promise to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. God will keep his promise. God would not allow the Israelites just to suffer in the land of Egypt. God remembered his promise. So God will deliver the Israelites out of Egypt. God has never forgotten his people. You think that God has forgotten them, but God said to Moses, no, I have not forgotten them. Thirdly, God said to Moses, take off your sandal. The land that you are standing is holy land, holy ground. You know the ground that Moses was standing on? He was standing on that piece of ground for 40 years already. He must have cursed the land many times, you know. Why is this land so hard? Why is it doesn't grow anything? Why is my life so hard? Because of this land, right? This desert land. Life is very hard. So he must have walked on this land for 40 years and complained about it all these 40 years. But God said, this is holy ground. Moses realized the problem is not the ground. The problem is when God said it's holy, it's holy. If we, even though we are just a thorn bush, useless, but if God separated us from the world, God saved us and separated us from the world, we are holy to him. Even though the ground is still the normal ground, the regular ground he stood on for 40 years, God said, this is holy. Then it's holy. Moses, when he was 40 years old, he thought he was very powerful, he can do a lot of work for God. But God doesn't use. But when God uses this person, God will be fully responsible. Even though he's only a thorn bush, but God can turn him into a thorn bush that's not consumed by fire, that is holy and separated for God's use. So can you imagine the revelation that Moses received at the end of these 40 years? When he finally admitted that I am nothing. I'm sure that I will just spend the rest of my life here in the wilderness as a shepherd. When he accepted that, when he realized that, when he was humble enough, God used him. God come to tell him that, and now come, I will send you to Egypt. Now, Moses is ready to be used by God. Not 40 years ago, not the clever, courageous, and educated person. It's a person that is humble and broken by the Lord. Realize that I am just a thorn bush. When we realize we are just a thorn bush, then God can use us. And that's when God can use Moses. It's the same Moses. The same Moses that 40 years ago, that the people of Israel rejected him and say, "Who make you the judge and ruler over us?" Today, God made him the judge and the ruler over them. It's the same Moses. What's different? 40 years ago, he hasn't learned his lesson. 40 years later, 80 years later, he learned his lesson. So, when God said, "I have seen the oppression, heard their groaning," tell us that God knows what's around us. God knows our circumstances. So often, when we are suffering, so often when we are when our situation is like being in the desert, we think that everything is going against us. God said to us that He has not forgotten us. Even though when Moses was in the wilderness for 40 years, nobody paid attention to him. You think the Egyptians pay attention to him? No. You think the Israelites pay attention to him? No. Nobody paid attention to him. He was so lonely. Just him and his family in the wilderness, taking care of a few sheep, and that's it. It was in such a circumstance, God appeared to him. God reminded him that, "I have been with you all these 40 years. You were not alone. I was with you. I was watching over you. Now, when you're ready, I can use you." And when God said, and now in verse 34, the end of verse 34, "And now come, I will send you to Egypt." Now, this is the time God sent him. He did not assume that God would send him. 40 years ago, he assumed that God used him. Now, he doesn't have to assume. God told him, "I'm going to use you now. I'm going to send you back to Egypt to do the work for me." In verse 36, "He brought them out after he had shown wonders and signs in the land of Egypt, in the Red Sea and in the wilderness 40 years. Moses at this time realized that all these wonders, all this powerful work, and all these signs were not by himself. In the past, he would have thought that, "Oh, it's because of my hands, because of me, I did all this for you." But now he realized it's not me. It was God that did all this work. I am just a servant. I am just a vessel in God's hand. He would never have known that 40 years ago. All he knew is, "I am powerful. I love the Lord. I can do all this for you guys. It's always me, I." Never give glory to God. Now he realized, even though he performed all this miracle, even though he saw all these signs, he realized that it was God who is doing all this mighty work. It's not him. That was proven over and over when he was in the wilderness with the Israelites for another 40 years. Can you imagine the Moses 40 years ago leading the Israelites in the wilderness? I think he would probably turn back in less than 10 days. How can he stand all this murmur and complain of the Israelites? Never. You know, 40 years ago, when he was such a courageous young man, anyone who dared to challenge him will be killed. I don't think Moses can stand the 40 years with the Israelites in the wilderness. No way. You know, it was only after God had dealt with him for these 40 years. Humble him. He realized that, "I am just a thorn bush. Useless. The reason why I can lead the Israelites and serve them for 40 years is because of the Lord, not me. I'm just a servant of the Lord. Can you imagine? Can you compare the different attitudes? God is the one that do all this work, not us. As a result, what's the result? The book of Hebrews also tells us a few things that we can compare. The book of Hebrews tells us that he forsook Egypt. You know, the thinking 40 years ago and now is very different. 40 years ago, he thought that God would use him, right? In what capacity? Of course, he was only imagining in his heart that God would use him. When he imagined that God would use him, he already had a framework how God would use him. In what context? How would God use him? Most likely, in his heart, he thought that God will use me to stand up for the Israelites in Egypt so that the Egyptians will not oppress the Israelites. That's probably what's in his heart. He would never have thought that God would take the Israelites out of Egypt. No matter how courageous or how powerful he was, never in a moment did he realize that God wanted the Israelites to be out of Egypt. He probably only thought that I will stand up using my power in the palace to stand up for the Israelites so that the Egyptians will not bully them. That's the maximum capacity that he would be thinking. But God has a higher plan. God wanted him to take the Israelites out of Egypt to forsake all these treasures of sin and treasures of Egypt. Brother and sister, you know, God's way is very different than our way. If we assume God will use us, we always confine ourselves in some narrow mentality that God would use me in such and such a way. But God has a higher plan. God has a higher way. So until we submit ourselves into the hands of the Lord, we will never see the full capacity of God's wonderful work. At the end of the 80 years, the book of Hebrews tells us that he forsook Egypt. In the book of Hebrews, he also mentioned about one thing. People would have different interpretation, okay? The book of Hebrews said, Moses, not fearing the wrath of the king, he endured as seeing the invisible God. Not fearing the wrath of the king. You know, Moses left Egypt twice. The first time when he left Egypt, he left in fear. He ran away because Pharaoh wanted to kill him. The second time he left Egypt with the Israelites, they were very courageous. They marched out of Egypt. I believe, personally, I may be wrong, okay? But I believe that the reference in the book of Hebrews probably refer to the second time when he left Egypt. That he was very bold, not fearing the wrath of the king. And he took the Israelites out of Egypt. It's just my personal view only. So, and also says he kept the Passover, the springing and the springing of blood. What does it mean? The Passover, we all know that the Passover is God's instruction to the Israelites. Look, tomorrow morning, you will leave Egypt. Tonight, I will do one more sign on the land of Egypt. I will kill all the firstborn in Egypt, man and animal, all the firstborn. I will kill them tonight. However, I will protect the Israelites. If you will kill a lamb on that day and spread the blood on the doorpost and the top of the door, then the angel will skip over your house and not kill the firstborn in the family. So that was the Passover. So the message in the Passover is, look, on that night, the night of the Passover, all the firstborn supposed to die. The only reason why
the Israelite family, their firstborn did not die. The only reason is because the lamb has died. The blood was shed. That's why the firstborn is not killed. A lamb has already been killed for the firstborn of the family. So from that, Moses realized that one day, the Son of God will die for all mankind on the cross. That's the revelation that Moses got. The Son of God will be killed as a Lamb of God on the cross, so that all mankind will be saved. Because we are all supposed to die, because we are all sinners. The wages of sin is death. So Moses kept the Passover. That's what we were told in the book of Hebrew. By faith, he realized that it was God who saved them, not Moses. Moses cannot deliver them out of the hands of the angel. It was the lamb that they killed. It was God's Son who died on the cross that we are all saved. We can do nothing about it. We cannot save ourselves. We are all sinners. And it's the Son of God that died for us. So that's the result. You know, Moses forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. He endured as seeing the invisible God, and he kept the Passover and the spring of the blood. So that is what happened. Now, brother and sister, how can we apply this in our daily life? What is the application? We can compare Moses for the first 40 years and his next 40 years. It's very drastically different. Very different. The first 40 years, in the eyes of men, he was a very successful person. He was a very spiritual person. But God was not ready, because there is something in Moses that is not ready. He needs to be dealt with. God put him in the wilderness to deal with him for 40 years. At the end of the 40 years, Moses was truly a humble person, realized that he is just a thorn bush, not the mighty man 40 years ago. I'm just a thorn bush, useless. It was only by God's grace I'm not consumed by the fire, and God can use me. And that's why, with this realization, God can use him. Let me read you one verse in closing. Recently, I was morning devotion, I came across one verse, a verse that was very common. I always overlook that, but recently it dawned on me that this particular verse was so powerful. Let me ask you all, turn to the book of the Gospel of John, chapter 13, a very short verse. John chapter 13. Now, from chapter 13 to chapter 16 is a passage of the teaching of Jesus just before he was crucified. The night before he was crucified, he has this long conversation with his disciples. Okay? And chapter 13, verse 3 is a particular verse that I want you to pay attention to. Verse 3, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God. Now I want you to pay attention to the first half of this verse. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands. Let's pay attention to this verse. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand. What do you think? What do you think all things include? The Father has given all things into his hands. All things. What does it include? Brother and sister, all things means the whole universe. All the created thing. Everything that God created. All things. No, it's not qualified here. All things is all things. Okay? Everything. The Father has given all things into his hand. The whole universe, the whole creation, including you and me. The Father has given you and me into the hands of the Lord. In other words, no matter how much you want to deny, the Lord is our master. If the Father has given us into the hands of the Lord, who dares to challenge the Father? Who dares to challenge the Lord Himself? So often, we do not admit that we are given into the hands of the Lord. So often, we think that I can do things my way. I can do things, do anything I want. I don't have to listen to the Lord. I don't have to listen to the Father. Read this carefully. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hand. Jesus did not assume that the Father has given all things into His hand. Jesus did not pretend that the Father has given all things into Him. Here it says, Jesus, knowing that the Father has given all things into His hands, including you and me. Brothers and sisters, may the Lord help us to fully realize this truth, that you and I do not belong to ourselves. You and I belong to the Lord Jesus. Because the Father has given all things, including you and me, into the hands of the Lord. Let us submit ourselves to the Lord, humble ourselves before the Lord, and faithfully serve the Lord. That's why I choose those two hymns to sing this morning. May the Lord bless His word. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for allowing us to read about the life of Moses. Lord, we so often so presumptuous, thinking so many wonderful things, but we are not willing to humble ourselves before you. Oh Lord Jesus, I pray that you will put these words into our hearts. Help us to meditate on your word day and night. Help us to realize how blessed we are that the Father has given us into your hand. Oh Lord, I pray that you will help us to realize that we are in your hands and we need to humble and submit ourselves to you. Oh Lord Jesus, I pray that you will enlighten our hearts with all these words. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.